Hey, and welcome back to 20 Minutes of Cat Chad, recorded March 29th during COVID-19. Yay. Go ahead, Chad.
2019?
No, March 29th, COVID-19.
Oh, COVID. I was like you lost your marbles. He got the Rona, guys. He's got the Rona.
Well, I'm good so far.
Yeah, I went to, went on vacation March. Like, I'm really losing my mind. But yeah, I went on vacation for a few days to visit my mom and some friends and whatnot. And that was an experience in itself. I decided to get a rental car from Enterprise. And I'm like, I usually have a good experience with that. And I got my tax refund, you know, put in my car and everything.
Wait.
And paid my bills.
Your taxes aren't due till April 15th.
Oh, I always do mine in February, so I can get them back soon, which is a good thing, because now I get that stimulus check, too. But basically, I went, picked up my car Thursday, then apparently Enterprise changed their rental agreements. Little did I know, where I got budget everything out. And I was like, oh, my car is going to cost me about $300-something. And I put $400-something on my car, you know, just have it there because I have a credit card where I try not to spend anything. So I put like $400+ on my credit card and stuff and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, so the rental deposit is $200. And I was like, wait, what? I'm like, because usually it's $100. Like, well, if you had insurance, we would usually deposit would be between $100 to $200. But if you're doing it as a regular person, it's gonna be over $200. So they charged me over like $200, and I'm like, I don't have it on my credit card. I'm like, well, I don't have all that on my, like. So it's like now the card's like $500-something. They're gonna put on hold, and I'm like, whoa, I'll have like $460 because technically it was $100 deposit type thing. And they're like, oh, well, okay, so we'll this guy helped me out. It was a real nice dude. And he's like, he helped me out. Okay, we'll put the, because it was going to be from Thursday to Tuesday. I was going on vacation. So he's like, okay, we'll just put it Thursday to Saturday, but call us Saturday extended so you could add more money to your credit card. I'm like, okay, I could do that because I have the money. I just have to transfer and it takes a day. I'm like, all right, cool. It's like, all right, not a problem. So I was like, okay, did that. 30 minutes outside of Fresno, which is in Central California, my car tire blew out on the freeway. And I'm like, I was like pissed because I'm in a nowhere, middle of nowhere. My cell phone reception was shit. My batteries was almost low because there's no charger in the car. So I was sitting there like, I usually shut my phone off so like so it doesn't die because it's a 6-hour drive. So I'm like, I've been driving for like 3.5 hours. So I was like, okay. This sucks. So I'm like, I called the Enterprise number 3 times, no answer. And I was like, okay, called another person. They get a hold of them, but they didn't answer. I was like, okay, this could be my last call. Like, literally, it was my last call because my phone died afterwards. I was like, okay, I called my mom. I was like, okay, mom, I need to call this number to get roadside assistance because they're not picking up their phone. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. My battery's dying. Like, there's nothing. It's a middle of nowhere. Like, bad things, like, getting raped was going to be like a bunch of rednecks going to rape me from Fresno from meth. But so I guess they did it in AAA. They called AAA and everything, and they sent them out. I waited for like 45 minutes. So it's like, I was making a good time. I was like, I was going to be in Sacramento around 4:00. I was like, all right. But it was like 1:30. I was like, fuck. I'm like, okay. So I waited. They came. They put a spare on. That's all they did was a spare. And they're like, but there's no back roads or anything. Like, well, you need to – so AAA called – like, they come in and an Enterprise finally get a hold of me. And they're like, oh, yeah, you have to switch cars. So you have to go all the way back to Fresno, which is 30 minutes, and go to the Fresno International Airport to pick up a new car. And I'm like, wait, there's only the way to get there is the freeway. And on a spare, you can't go over 55. And you only go like 40, 50 miles on a spare. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I was going 55 miles on the freeway for 30 minutes. Like, oh, man, so many people are pissed. I was just like, I'm going to get shot by some road rage meth head. And I'm like, pretty much where it's like, so I I did that. I'm like, one, I never knew Fresno had an airport. Two, so I got there, finally get there. And I was like, all right, cool. Half an hour out of my time. Picked up a car, moved everything from that car to the other car, drive. Finally get to Sacramento about 7 o'clock. So I was like, all right, cool. Went to dinner with some friends, crashed on my friend's couch. I was like, which was fun. His cats were like stealing my blankets, which I was like, son of a bitch. So I was like that. Then drove down, had lunch with my other friend, and then went to my mom's, hung out with her. And that's when like Saturday, when all the corona like things are, everything started like shutting down. Like they started putting like, not shutting down, but like started putting bans and stuff. Like, okay, this have to do this, stay isolate, da 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 da. And I was like, and I'm already stressing because I just had to, I have to go and extend my thing too. This is the thing. I have to extend my travel thing, rental car on Saturday. So Saturday morning, I was like, all right, cool. So I called them. We're like, oh yeah. I put $200-something on my card, thinking like, okay, you know, that's what I need because I had $400 on my card already. They charged the $400. I'm just going to put another $200. Well, they go, yeah, you owe $317 now. And I'm like, wait, what? It's like, yeah, we'll charge you for the $110 for the roadside assistance. So they charged me additional $110 for the tire change for the spare. And I was like, I don't have it. And like, do you know anyone else that could help do it? So I was like, fuck, okay, fine, whatever. So I asked my mom, and my mom helped me out. So it's only a deposit, so she'll get it back and everything. So she got everything back. But still, they had to charge her card because when they charge your card, my card, because I was thinking like, okay, I had the 200. They wouldn't take my 200 because they charged and it declined because they had $370. And they can't do it after 24 hours. You have to wait for 24 hours because credit card fraud. I was like, oh my God. So my mom had to charge like $317 on her fucking card. So I was like, I'm livid. And the guy who, because I had to drive to a different store because you have to find another enterprise to do sign paperwork. So if you extend it, because my car, if you're using a different card. So I was like, oh my God. So I like find another enterprise in the area to charge it. Like the guy could tell I was pissed. I was like, I wanted to punch someone, punch a baby in the face. I was that kind of like mood. I was like, okay, this is like, if there's a pregnant woman around, I'll punch her right in the fucking baby maker. But, so I did that and, did everything. And then that Saturday afternoon is when they start doing all the things like announcements, like, oh, you need to isolate. Da, 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 da. So that goes going on. I was like, so I spent Saturday and Sunday pretty much at my mom's, just at my mom's, helping them grocery shop and everything. Just to prepare because I was like, okay, this is not good. Because I was telling them, I'm like, you guys just need to stock up just in case. I'm like, I could handle myself because I'm like, whatever. But I'm like, you guys need to stock up. So that's what I did for 2 days. Watched movies and stuff and relaxed. But I was just like, but I helped them with that. And then I was just like, I noticed that a snowstorm was coming. Because I wasn't supposed to leave till like Tuesday. I knew a snowstorm was coming. And I was just like, and then he started doing the isolation stuff. So I was like, because the grapevine. Because it snows at the grapevine coming from LA and they shut down the freeways when it snows. So I stuck. So I was like, okay. So I was like, so I want to beat that. So I left Monday morning and I beat that and everything. So I came back Monday. I left at 6 in the morning, got back by 12, unloaded my car, drove, dropped my car off, filled it up and dropped my car off, then walked 3 miles back to my place. And I was just like, like that was my trip pretty much. Like I cut my trip short because of that. And then that night it did snow closing the grapevine. So I was glad I left the day early because I was like, poof. But yeah, so everything like that, I was just like, so it was basically a headache and anxiety up the yin yang pretty much. I was just like, fucking Enterprise. And then Enterprise too was like, because they're dumbasses. Because they had to call the state each because they didn't know where I was because I was in the middle of nowhere. They're like, are you in Fresno or in Madre? Or like, I'm like, I don't freaking know. I'm like on some, like, because I pulled off the freeway because I was like, I didn't want to be on the freeway. So I pulled off the freeway, went on to like a thing and near an intersection. So I knew where the intersections are. Like, okay, like at least they know there's an intersection. They'll probably see a broken down car. It'll be me. And I was like, I don't know, it's Road 29 and Golden State Boulevard. I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. I just have a fucking thing. So I picked up. But the funny thing is when I was coming back with the new car up that area, there's two other cars that had their tires blown out on a freeway there. So something was on the road or something because, like, I was driving and it was like two other cars with their, like, wheels blown, like, in the same location. I was like, oh, wow. So I kind of figured that out, but I was just like, ugh. So basically it's stress, and I always have stress and anxiety and when I do traveling because I don't like vacations because I don't know how to handle myself. I'm like sitting there like, I like sleeping in my own bed. And I'm like, okay, because I didn't write at all that week because, like, I have a routine. Like, I didn't think about movies or anything because I had because I've been working on a couple of screenplays for some writer, like some director producers that work for, like, Lifetime and stuff that were, like, looking for scripts. So I was like, all right. So I was working on, like, two different Lifetime scripts. I'm gonna give you the titles. Like, this is not my forte. And I'm like, because I was also trying to sell one of my horror scripts. And the two Lifetime channel movies scripts I'm working on, but I don't get paid unless they get sold or picked up. So a director or producer, we're going to pitch it to see what happens. And if it gets picked up, I get paid. So I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. And the titles for one of them was called Trinket on the Rocks, about this sketchy trophy housewife who kills her husband but seduces the pool boy to do it to make it look like an accident because her husband had a stroke and he drowns and whatever. Da, 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 da.
This is Hallmark Channel, yeah. Right?
Yes, and yeah, it's a Lifetime. It's on Lifetime. They own Hallmark and Disney owns half of it.
Like, how can that Disney be on that? Isn't that a little more risque?
Lifetime?
I don't know. I've never seen a Lifetime movie.
Lifetime is really risque. It's like basically for like white women, man. I'm telling you, it's like they have a formula which cracks me up about it. It's like you have to make it about upper to rich white women. They want to have, like, some diversity in the supporting roles because they want to be woke. Like, oh, we have to have diversity. So you always have some, like, maid or black friend that's a yoga instructor or something. It's just something stupid. And then the second one I did called Clinical Aggression about this – basically because I stole this idea – well, not stole the idea. It was inspired by that sex therapist or relationship therapist who got killed by her boyfriend here in LA. So she's like this relationship therapist for the stars, and her boyfriend threw her off of a 3-story apartment building or something because, yeah. I was sitting there, so I based it off of that, and I'm doing that. And then I was trying to sell my horror script, Empath, which I was like trying to do just horror director producer. I was like, I'm trying to sell as much as I can because I have a bunch of scripts. Like, literally, I'm staring at my desk right now, and I have semi-finished, half-finished, and finished screenplays just sitting there. But a lot of my completed scripts are short films. The semi-finished, half-finished are all the features because I have no interest in doing features right now. I'm like, there's really no point. I'm like, I'm more into like, I want to do television stuff because that's where the money stuff is right now. Because you can expand off the characters and stuff. And so I did that, but everything I get was like, because Empath, it's 85 pages. And I always write, my scripts are usually always between 75 pages to 90 pages. I don't like doing 120-page scripts. And like, oh, it needs to be longer. I'm like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, these are genre films. They're like, they're per minute. It's like, but I see time, like, no. When you shoot it, you'll know it's going to be 75 to 90 minutes. So I sit there, and that's why I have an issue selling my scripts, because they're not like, oh, this and this. Because when I write my scripts, they're already kind of, like, shot and edited in a way. And it could, like, because, like, the director who read it is just like, this is a really good script, but I think you should add more B-story and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, I could do that. But it's just like, you should direct these scripts yourself. I'm like, because these are really good. Like, they're good. I'm like, no shit. I'm like, of course, like, I want to direct them myself. I write them for me to direct. But you have to have funding and resources, and that's kind of difficult living in LA when you have nothing, working Pizza Hut part-time type thing, where it's like, investors don't know who I am. That's always – because I have no problem going into pitches. Like, I don't have an agent or a manager or entertainment lawyer, and I have no problem getting into meetings with development executives and creative executives at production companies, networks, and studios. My problem is getting the next level to, like, the marketing and production executives. That's the second level, is the marketing and production executives that – I'm not financially viable yet to them. They're like, oh, who are you? I'm like, your stuff is good. And like, oh, Captain, we're going to pass, but we're going to follow you on social media because you have good stuff. We know you're going to go somewhere, but just in case if you do, we're going to hire you. So I'm like, dang. So I have that issue, right? Well, now it's, nothing's going on, but yeah. So I'm like, but yeah.
Okay. How's the stand-up career going?
Right now, everything's closed.
I know that. But you were doing stand-up before you were last here, so I want to hear about it.
Oh, so, yeah, I did some shows, some open mics and whatnot in November. Because I'm, like, I'm really focused on doing, like, one-man show type things. I don't do jokes anymore. It's kind of tedious. I'm like, but what I run into, like, I stopped in December again, like, because I was trying to do work on movie stuff. But it was fun. I enjoy being on stage and entertaining people and telling stories. But just, like, once again, there are 3 to 5 minute sets. I'm more of a storyteller, kind of like my observation. And like, it's very conversational, so it's hard to do that with a bunch of comics. I'm like, are people not paying attention at bars and stuff? Like, I like bar shows. But once again, it's like you're paying – I also have to pay to go on stage. Like, all these clubs make you in bars. They want you to pay $5 to $7. It's sort of like pay-to-play type thing, like where musicians and stuff go to bars and they have to pay to go on stage and perform. So basically you're paying – okay, basically you're paying to perform in front of other comics. I'm like – so you really don't know what's going to work because I know – I've been doing this long enough where – I know my audience, and I know how to entertain audience because the stuff that you're doing in front of comedians and stuff isn't going to be funny to them because comedians like are look at you and like, oh, I could do this joke better. Oh, I could do this with that joke. Okay. Like, so it's very – I'm more into like, okay, I know I'm a good writer. I'm like, I know what I'm good at. It's just to the point where I'm like, okay, what am I going to do is – kind of like write my own one-man show and put it on theaters itself and see what happens because open mics you can only do so much. I'm not a bringer comedian, so it's like bringers, basically people ask what bringer shows are. Basically you go on a show that has like 10 other comics, which is ridiculous, and you have to bring 10 to 12 people to that thing, paying audience. You have to bring 10 to 12 people, and then if you don't bring enough people, you'll get less time or you don't go on. So that's what I'm saying. So you could invite people and still end up not going on. So I sit there and I start laughing. So it's the business side of things where I just kind of like laugh where I'm like, it's kind of ridiculous where I enjoy it. Like I always like performing because I get burnt out on writing. Like I write every day. That's my daily routine. Like I write every day for 2 to 3 hours. But I only do it in the morning because I can't do it at night or anything because my brain's just shut off. Like at night, I can perform like crazy. I can perform everything like that. I usually like shooting like when I direct and stuff. I like shooting in the mornings or afternoons because at night, there's a different mindset on. But it's like I really – but I need to alternate between acting and directing gigs because I get burnt out. That's pretty much it.
So what would you say in your last minute before we end this? Do you think this is your year when everything goes back to normal?
I really think I have a lot of content and everything. I think it will get better. I have a feeling I'm putting all the time and effort into it, building up the hours. I think next year is going to be more of everything because, like I said, the coronavirus is going to last 6 to 8 months. Like, I see it. It's going to be really interesting for the economy to boost back up. So hopefully 2021, like I have the content, I have the material. It's just Got to level the playing field.
Okay, Chad, you're done. Goodbye.
Peace.